Thank you for that reading, Brother Stephen.
Good to see everybody with us this morning. Goodly number here. First time back for some folks after an extended time of being away, as far as physically away, spiritually always with us. We did not miss an assembly. We didn't do that. The same gospel was taught, same prayers were offered, remembrance of the Lord. We purposed our giving just as we're going to be doing today, even though some were online, many of us were online for quite some period of time. There is a little bit of a difference. Wasn't the singing great? To be present here and join voices, that is. I was singing along every time online, but amen. To be present and have our voices join with our brethren is just a great thing.
Amen.
We have visitors with us. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Those that are just traveling, consider moving to Taylor. But very good to have you with us. Very good to have you with us. We invite you back every opportunity that you have. This parable that we just heard the reading of by Brother Stephen is not only a parable about abilities. And certainly, we understand the abilities aspect in this parable, because one was given five, one was given two, one was given one. There are different abilities, and the master recognized the different abilities and the reason for the difference in the giving of the talents. And that's one aspect of this lesson. But there's another aspect of this lesson, and I think sometimes it's overlooked. And that is, in each and every case, it doesn't matter about the amount. In each and every case, there was opportunity. There was opportunity. I'm sure that you've seen it. I grew up went to school with a young man, and his dad owned a corporation. And I remember when he got his license, his dad bought him a brand new Ford pickup. And I remember that when we went hunting, he had the best guns. And I knew that he was in place to take over that corporation at some point in time. The opportunity was there for him. And it was an amazing opportunity. That's not afforded to many people. And I can tell you what he did with that opportunity. He rolled that truck and totaled it, acting foolish. And he got on drugs and wasted his life. And it cost not only him, but also his parents that corporation. They're no longer part of it anymore. Still bears the name, but they're not a part of it. A wasted opportunity. A wasted opportunity. And that's going to be our lesson this morning. I don't call it a wasted opportunity. I call it an open door. If you're visiting with us, and we have many visitors here, this lesson is about this congregation, but take it back to your congregation also. Now, what you hear, take it back to your congregation. I urge you to do that. But it's about this congregation here. Those that are sitting toward the front, turn around and look for just a moment at those behind. Because you see, this little building is just about full. It's just about full. I want to talk about an open door. And I want to talk about opportunity in connection with this congregation. And I want to ask the question, will we walk through the open door? Great growth has been recognized in this congregation. And great growth during a pandemic. Great growth. We have gained about 21 members over the past year. 53 members in all currently at this time. Amazing growth. And again, during a pandemic, you don't usually see situations like that, I don't think. But maybe it's a little bit more explainable too, whenever there are times of trial. People want to be involved in the Lord. They want to be involved in the Lord. We've lost 7 people to moves, to personal reasons, and to death. When we go through this lesson, I want you to keep your focus. All of us keep our focus on the fact that we're talking about spiritual growth being the key. The numbers are great. But I believe that there's also a correlation there, and it starts out with spiritual growth. Whenever you look in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 58, Paul, talking to a congregation that is riddled with problems, makes this statement. It says in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, being steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And he tells them, even with all the problems there, Focus on the Lord. Focus on your spirituality. Focus on what the Lord would have you to do. And the same thing can be said here when we look and see what Peter says in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. He talks there about growing in grace and knowledge. In both of these accounts, I want you to notice this. We will grow appropriately if we are growing spiritually. There is such a thing as a congregation growing inappropriately. Inviting in those that are not sound to the truth. Sound in faith. Inviting those in that are power grabbers, that want their own way. Inviting those in that stir up trouble, that are divisionist. And we understand that there is an improper growth and it's artificial. It's not the way that the Lord intended. But if we are spiritual in our growth, then that growth, not only in strength spiritually, but also in numbers, is going to be appropriate to that which God expects from us, from the congregation. And of course, we understand that many times that inappropriate growth comes about because the congregation is not organized the way that the Lord ordained. I'm talking about they don't have elders. And quite often that becomes a free-for-all. This congregation has elders. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But spiritual growth is to be the key that I want us to focus on, because if that happens, and we're spiritual in every aspect, well then those numbers that come are also going to be from the standpoint of spirituality. And not from that inappropriate artificial growth that just is bodies sitting in the pews. But you have those that are working for the Lord. From the elders to every individual that is a member of this congregation. And that will take place. A door is open for us right now. And something that really hasn't been seen here in Taylor in quite some time, in this congregation. Where do you see what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter and verse 9, the very first part of that verse? He says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me." And what he wants to do is take advantage of that opportunity. He's talking about opportunity when he says that great and effective door is open to me. And the opportunity exists. In like manner, in this congregation, a door has been opened to us. Think about it. The mature folks are studying or working and inviting others. We have several online that are with us, not able to be at the building yet, but they are still inviting people. And they start out, first of all, online, or they even invite them to come and to join us here at the building. But the work, there's workers of those that are the mature folks of this congregation. Then we have the young folks, which is a large part of this congregation now, and a wonderful thing. So us old folks, when we hear babies cry and act up, and we hear children wrestle and so forth, that's the sound of beauty in a congregation. That's the sound of the future. And we have that in this congregation. Plus the young folks, that the future has come to us. They are inviting others. That is evident. And I will tell you, in talking to a brother, that there may be more to come in the very near future. There may be more to come. We have some on fixed income. We have some that are on little or no income, just on Social Security. We have many other than with jobs. We have those that also own businesses. We have a cross-section in this congregation. But every one of us have a responsibility with the opportunity that has been set before us concerning this congregation. There is a great opportunity. Let me put it to you this way. If someone talked to you about a business venture and said, there is always a positive outcome in this, there will only be a positive outcome in this, if you will just invest your time and your resources, you are going to reap mightily. If you will do that, our ears would perk up, would they not? Our ears would perk up. I'm not talking about making money. I'm not talking about doing the Lord's will. I'm talking about this congregation here at this time. A unique opportunity has arisen because look around. Look at the joy, look at the growth, look at the numbers that we have. I believe those appropriate numbers that we have right now. And think about, this is the way it's supposed to be. And not only that, but each and every one of us are on the ground floor, so to speak, of something that is going to be much better if we're spiritual. If we are spiritual. What can stop us? What can stop us? I want to look at this. Paul not only said in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 9, a great door and effective is open to me. He also said, and there are many adversaries. We understand that Satan is going to be on the attack in connection with this congregation. We are in the crosshairs. And the reason being is that there is joy, there is love, there is peace, there is harmony in this congregation, and the numbers are growing. We are in the crosshairs of Satan. Don't ever forget that. He wants this to fail. He doesn't want this to continue as it's going right now. He doesn't want the good outcome. We all understand that, don't we? We all understand that. We understand that people move away, jobs, family reasons, and personal reasons. Now, sometimes you cannot do anything to keep from losing people in connection with jobs and family reasons. But let's not be stopped because of personal reasons. Let's not be stopped. And that will stop a congregation dead in its tracks whenever people start to have personal reasons rather than doing what the Lord says and being spiritual. Think about that whenever Paul wrote to Philippi. And he mentioned two women, Euodia and also Syntyche. And he wrote concerning them that they be of the same mind in the Lord. This is Philippians 4 verses 2 through 5. Be in the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. He implores those two women that have been workers with him. Get along. Stop this discontent. Stop these personal matters that crop up. And that is one of the quickest ways in order to destroy the work of congregations for personal matters to take place. I don't like the color of the seats. Thank goodness God has blessed me with color blindness. Because it doesn't make a difference to me whatsoever with the color of the seats. I don't care. But the fact is that neither should you. Because that's not the important thing. And when we look here at verse 5 especially, let your gentleness, and the King James Version says, let your moderation be known to all men. There's a commentator that made a comment on this verse that I really like what he said. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known to all. That's the way that we should be. And you see, if there's sweet reasonableness in this congregation, there's not going to be these personal problems. Because we recognize that it doesn't matter about the color of the seat, it doesn't matter about the color of the carpet. It doesn't matter about those things. It's about serving God. And that's the attitude that we should have. We should have the attitude that is expressed to us in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter concerning love. Love bears all things, believes all things, and so forth. In other words, we bear with those that we may disagree with. We believe the best about everybody until we're proven wrong. And when we have that attitude, then we're not going to be stopped by personal reasons. Don't let personal reasons happen in this congregation. That will grind our growth spiritually and in numbers to a stop. It will do it immediately. But also, ineffective leadership can grind this congregation to a stop. Bear with me, elders. Bear with me, elders. I'm speaking to you. A lack of forward-looking, fearful of change, had rather just keep house, a lack of discipline of its members will grind the growth in this congregation to a stop, and it will revert. And as a matter of fact, we will go backwards. That will happen. Amen. That will happen. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 3. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. Lead. Lead in a way that is not fearful. Lead in a way that does not want to just keep house. Lead in a way that is forward looking for the needs of this congregation. A shepherd out in the field is not a shepherd at all if he plants his flock in one pasture and never thinks about them again, because they are going to eat that down and the grass is going to be gone, and then he's not found other pasture for them, and then they starve. Same thing in the spiritual sense, elders, in connection with this. And then in connection with discipline. Acts 5 chapter verse 11 through 14. We remember the accounts there. That's Ananias and Sapphira that lied to God. They lied to God about their money that they gave. And God, because of that, making a statement, I'm the same God as I was under the Old Testament. I'm the same God now, and I demand obedience. And because now you're under grace, I still demand obedience. He struck them dead. We understand that. I want you to look at the result of that. And in verse 12 it says, through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. There were those that looked and said, well, we're not going to get involved with them because God struck some of them dead. But they were still esteemed highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, after the death of Ananias and Sapphira. What does that tell us? That tells us that people recognize and appreciate discipline. They recognize and appreciate that the elders here have not set us up just to play church. We are here to do the Lord's work. We are here to grow as we should, that appropriate growth, and that we're going to do our best to be forward-looking by their direction that they give us in order to accomplish that opportunity that is out there for us here in Taylor, the South Loop congregation. They will appreciate that. And now, elders, let me say this about you. We do not have ineffective leadership. We have two shepherds, two elders in this congregation, and they talk, and they're thinking forward, and they are making plans for us, and they recognize an opportunity that is there. And here is what we are to do in connection with that. We give them the support to do what is needed to be done in this congregation so that we can grow. Spiritually, the numbers will follow. The Lord gives the increase. Just as Paul said, I have planted, Apollos have watered, and God gives the increase. And they recognize that. We have a great leadership in this congregation with these two men.
Amen.
But ineffective leadership will put this to a stop. Thank God that we don't have that. Ineffective preaching. Ineffective preaching will put this congregation to a stop. When we look at this from a standpoint of the unbalanced preaching, that is what causes congregations to stop growing, for there to be no joy in a congregation, and that everyone gets down in the mouth, and there's no happiness, and there's no learning, and there's no spirituality. When we look at 2 Peter 4, chapter verse 2 through 4, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers because they want their ears tickled. I paraphrase that. And will turn unto fables rather than staying with the truth. And when you look at what is presented here, you have both the positive and the negative balance in what Paul tells this young preacher to present. First of all, convict, convince, or reprove, the negative unto the positive. And what it really deals with is to expose and to find fault and to correct. And the preaching needs to be like that from time to time. And then the word rebuke, negative again unto positive, means severe rebuke with possibility, a suggestion in some cases of impending penalty. Your soul is in danger. The preacher says that from time to time. And then he says, exhort, which is positive. Parakaleo, by the way, We remember in John the 14th chapter, verse 26, 15th chapter, verse 26, and the 16th chapter, verse 13, that the Comforter, the Paraclete, which is this word, it comes from this word, that we are to be a comforter, to console, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort one another. That's positive. With all long suffering and doctrine, and that long suffering is positive. Patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. It has been my experience over the years in looking at congregations where you don't have the balanced gospel that is taught. That which is needed in the negative and that which is needed in the positive. That when there is only negative preaching that takes place, it discourages a congregation. There is no joy, there's no happiness. That takes place. I've seen that over the years. On the other hand, where everything is just light and bubbling and always positive, it leaves a congregation unprotected by the attack of Satan. They're ill prepared. And so that's the reason then for the balanced gospel that is there. You'll notice that I don't make comment about the preacher on this slide. That's for you to do. I may not be the man that is needed here to help this congregation grow. That's where you go back and you give feedback to the elders. We don't need him, or he's so old they put him out right now. But one way or the other, I'll not comment on the preacher. I'll comment on the preaching that is needed. And I think we recognize that. But ineffective preaching will grind the halt of a growing congregation to nothing. Selfishness. Selfishness will grind to halt a congregation. Poor giving in particular. There are preachers that are so afraid to preach on giving. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, Paul said. And it should not be viewed as a negative. Giving is not a negative. Giving is what we're supposed to do. We are to be not only of a giving nature, we give of our time, we give of our comfort, we give of our care and our concern for those that are in need, just as Daryl mentioned during his announcements in connection with our sister Kara, that's going through a lot of pain right now. We give. We give. But also monetarily. And it is purpose giving. It's not, well, you know, now the preacher's talking about giving. I wonder if I have any money in my pocket. I should have brought some today because I need to put something in plate. People might look around and say, well, did so-and-so give? Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what other people are viewing. Because you see, it's the Lord that you're dealing with. But purpose giving. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together. On the first day of the week, each one of you lay by in store as he has been prospered. That means a purpose giving. Lord, here's my budget. Here's the money that I receive every week. And I know there's not a thing in the world wrong. You expect me to enjoy life. And so I'll see a movie. Hopefully it's a good movie and one that is not a dirty movie. We don't need to be doing that. I'll see a movie. I'll go and have fun. I'll buy shotgun shells. Expendable cash. Go and have fun. We did that yesterday, by the way, not as a congregation, but as a group of Christians. And the Lord wants us to do that. But Lord, I recognize my responsibility in the giving. I recognize that. And so when we look at that, it should be generous giving. And we see that when we look at 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 6 through 11. Paul says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Daryl lost his job two times, Daryl? Yeah, two times. Two times, company was sold, he lost his job. He didn't do anything wrong. They were crazy getting rid of him, by the way, because he was a grand employee. You know, some employees work, but only just do barely enough to get by, just enough to keep from being fired. That's not the way that our brother Daryl was. He's a good example to us. He did his work wholeheartedly. As working for the Lord, Paul told Timothy to teach the servants. But he made plans whenever that took place. And I never lost a job in the secular world, but I went through one occasion where I did not have a job that was assured me. And I live with a red-haired woman. And she's a wonderful red-haired woman. And I came back and I said, you know, I talked to the guy and he said, just count on having a job. You're going to have it. And she said these words, did you sign anything? I said, no, I didn't. The man told me, beans and cornbread till you sign something. And we stayed on beans and cornbread for 9 months. I hate beans and cornbread right now. But she was prudent. Finally, I signed something. She said, let's have something other than beans and cornbread. But it's about that prudence where we plan for the future. We plan to give to the Lord. That's number one. And we give generously. And just as in Daryl's situation, he planned, he paid things off with what he had. He went to work. He and Nina took in foster kids. They did many other things to be able to stay alive until the job came back around to him again. And it did. Do you think it came back around to him again because he was lucky? Or do you think it came back around to him again because he was blessed by the Lord? I believe the providence of God was working in that. Can't prove it. I believe that's the case. And I think that's what's being stated here. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. I'm sorry. Come on down. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us, as he has purposes in his heart, again, that is with forethought, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance in for every good work. Do we really believe that? Well, I would give more, but boy, that might put me in jeopardy. Do we have trust in the Lord that He's going to take care of us? That we can give to His work and He's going to bless us because of that? Well, that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. That's exactly what he's talking about. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Not only in righteousness but also in material possessions. God will bless those that give because they realize it's not mine in the first place. It belongs to God. But I will tell you that selfishness and holding back and just doing the least we can possibly do to squeak by will bring this congregation down. It will bring this congregation down. I just want to put this up for just a moment. 53 members realize, as I said at the beginning of this lesson, there are some on fixed income. There are some that are just on Social Security. There are some that cannot give very much at all. Where does the responsibility go then in order to make sure that we take care of not only our responsibilities, but we have an opportunity now not only to take care of our responsibilities, but also to grow? Where does that fall upon? Well, we're going to go to the business owners. That's where we go. And what I'm going to do every week, whenever I see that $6,410 on the board, I know that's going to come about every so often, so I can plan my time, and wherever that happens, I'm going to hold back. That will bring this congregation down too. That will bring this congregation, because you see, it's individual. It's not about how much our business owners give. It's not about how much the ones with the best jobs have give. It's about our own responsibility. We are not waiting for mama and daddy to put a quarter in our hands and drop it into the plate anymore. We are responsible for that giving. And we need to be doing that. I realize this is very direct. I realize. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But take it positively. Because of the outcome that can come from the opportunity that we have in this congregation with all these young people. And the numbers that we've seen, the increase that is here. What an opportunity. Are we going to squelch that? Well, the opportunity was there, Lord, but I'll tell you, I just didn't want to do my part. Come to find out, very few others didn't want to do their part. Come to find out, no one did their part. And so we didn't grow. Lord, let me into heaven. No. Just take a look at that right there. And understand what those numbers mean in connection with growth of this congregation. One thing that I don't have available to me has not been told me, and I really don't want to know. I don't know what our budget is. But I'm not talking about budget today. I'm talking about over and above that so that we can grow. So that we can support the plans of the elders for the opportunity of this congregation that we have right here. Think about those numbers. And the reason I put those numbers up there, brethren, how much disposable cash do you use in other areas other than giving to the Lord? Do those numbers look familiar to you? Of going out to eat, seeing the movies, doing these other things. All those are fine. Do we match that or go above that in our giving to the Lord? That's the question. Boy, we got quiet. That's for each and every one of us to ponder and to think on. What can stop us right now is not having a larger building. When we have visitors, it is great that they have a back seat that we can go to because they're just visiting. They don't want to be in the front center. And our members move forward, but we're starting to run out of those seats, and especially with some of the social distancing that is taking place, not so much of that anymore. We're starting, I think, to be a little more comfortable. And I pray that we can get even more comfortable than this. But understand that we can get to the point where this building will be a killer for the growth of this congregation. Right now, we have an inadequate design for the current numbers in this congregation. I hold directly accountable the one that designed this congregation because of that. Or rather, this building because of that. That's me. Many years ago, back in 1979, I drew up the plans for this congregation, for this building, rather. And it worked great for the few numbers that we had, but I was such a young man, I wasn't looking forward enough. And now, we are bulging. It's inadequate. We do not have the proper size classrooms. We had 15 kids total back there today, and they were packed in there like sardines, weren't they? They were packed in there like sardines. That doesn't promote good learning either. It makes it hard on the teachers. There's a water issue that I'm not going into the details of in connection with the water that we have. And I'll just say, we are in jeopardy in connection with that water issue. There's a non-expansion limiter, as far as we understand, where we cannot build an auditorium on this property, according to the city. I think more is going to be checked into concerning that. So what option is left then? You find some other place. How do you find some other place unless the giving promotes you to find some other place, right? Staying in this building sends a message. And the message is this: we don't want to grow. We're fine. You're visiting from the Fort Worth area, Metroplex area, Albert. But good to see you every once in a while. Just don't plan on coming. No. Very much. No, we just don't have a lot of room. No. That's not the attitude. You can visit us from time. We just want to stay comfortable. Just a small little group. And I believe that a congregation can get too big. Too big. Do you agree with that, Brother Doyle? I believe that. We're not near there. There needs to be a good number where the teachers and both men and women in the congregation have the ability to teach classes and also out in the front. And also to take part in the worship service. And that number needs to be where that can happen more than once a year or every 2 years as it is in some congregation. No, there needs to be involvement. Congregations can get too big in my estimation. They can get too big for the oversight of an eldership. How in the world do you watch that many? Watch and care for that many. But we're not there. We need growth. So, what can stop us when we really come down to the bottom line is ourselves. That can stop us. Matthew 25, 24 through 30, that one talent man. Lord, I was afraid. I knew that you were an austere man. I know that you reaped where you did not sow. So I just took and I hid in the ground the talent that you gave me. Here it is, back to you once again. And the Lord said to him, I gave you an opportunity. An opportunity based directly upon your ability, and you squandered that opportunity. Let that not be said of the South Loop Church of Christ with the opportunity that is put before us right now. Let that not be said. Let us each recognize our own responsibility in the growth of this congregation spiritually and also in numbers, and to meet that accountability that we have directly, individually, and not just upon a certain few. Let me tell you, I've seen congregations that have had some very wealthy, at least one very wealthy person within the congregation. And you could just see it. The giving was watched very closely. And where that person put in their amount, that was basically all the amount that was put in. And then on the weeks that came after that, you'd see these little paltry amounts that would come in. But they knew when that person was going to give, and the responsibility fell just on that one person. The congregation didn't grow. The congregation right now is almost dead. It is almost dead because of that. So it's our responsibility, each and every one of us. Will we make the commitment? Will we walk through this open door that we have as this congregation, the South Loop Church of Christ? Will we walk through it? By first of all, growing spiritually. Therefore, laying aside, this is 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? If you're a child of God, you have. If you've been blessed in your life by the Lord, you have. If you have a job and you're still feeding your family, you've been blessed by Him. You should recognize that, but you should also recognize that growing spiritually is what matters, and it leads then to that which will produce much fruit. By giving more to be part of this work, Luke 6 chapter verse 38. Jesus says, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, into your account. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You hoard, you give little, you keep it for yourself, you're not blessed much. You give that back to the Lord that is His anyway, you'll be blessed. The responsibility is individual. The Psalm, the 92nd Psalm, verse 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Do we believe that? Or is that just beautiful poetry? Without substance and without meaning. What an opportunity. When you get on the ground floor, I'm talking to the members of this congregation, when you get on the ground floor of what is possible for this congregation, get behind it, support the elders and their decisions. Let's find a place. Let's find a place. Brother Darrell, the elders announced last week we need to be looking for land, and they're doing that. Let's find a place and let's make it possible, because the opportunity is given to us. We have this prime opportunity. Brother Sandy, you want to come forward? There may be those that are present here this day that are not children of God. And I recognize that this lesson has been about Christians and their opportunities and responsibilities. I recognize that. But remember, we started out and I said, keep the focal thought on that which is spiritual. And if you're not a child of God, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity this day to become a child of God. You have an opportunity to render obedience to your Lord that died for you. You have an opportunity by faith, with a penitent attitude, naming His name, being baptized this day to become a child of God, and then to start work on the ground floor of this congregation this day. You have that opportunity. But especially that your soul is saved. And then those of us that are here, are we going to try to squeak by the least I can possibly do? I'm going to look at the poorest member of the congregation. I'm going to determine who that is, and I'm going to give just a bit more than they give. I'm going to look at the least worker in this congregation. I'm going to work just a bit more than they work. Or do we recognize what the Lord has done for us? The blessings that we've received. If you have not been living your life fully for the Lord, remember Paul's words in Romans 12, chapter verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are we a living sacrifice, or are we a dead one? Lord, this is all you get. Good luck with it. Or are we a living sacrifice that wants to grow, wants to do the Lord's will? If there are those that we can help in any way, there's a song that's been prepared. Brother Sandy's going to have it now on the screen. And I'm going to ask, if we can assist you in any way, will you please come forward as we stand and as we sing?
When we walk